Okay.
Let me
do it here. Okay. So, well, wait, Mike, this is great because she already talked about a lot of the stuff that's in mine, so we'll just skip it over. I will. I promise I'll look this way. Well, the literature indicates that the healthy benefits of gardening throughout the nation, and the Alamo Navajo tribe was interested in gathering raw data, to demonstrate the benefits of gardening in their community so they could procure some additional funding to help with their effort. So they asked us if we'd come up and give them a hand, and we said sure. And she was talking about grocery stores earlier. The Alamo community is really isolated. I'll show you a map in a minute. Magdalena, New Mexico is 30 miles away from it, Socorro 57. If you take a look here, the Alamo tribe, they're part of the reservations down here and Window Rocks up here. So it's quite a piece to travel, including over a dirt road for most of the way if you go that way. So as I mentioned, it's geographically isolated, and the people there are very prideful. They take pride in making decisions that directly benefit their community. They have a beautiful wellness center. They also have a very active school board, which helps in a lot of health-related issues in their community. It's about 2,000 residents, and a third of them are currently unemployed. As we talked about there, I think in here everybody's quite aware of health disparities in Native Americans, so I'm going to just kind of skip over that. And as Marla mentioned earlier, diabetes is a real issue, especially adult onset or type 2. We know that there is a definite link between type 2 diabetes, nutrition, and dietary eating patterns. And of course, current dietary recommendations suggest a diet high in fiber, low in carbohydrates, and processed sugars. Now, for the Alamo Navajo, the nearest grocery store is 30 miles away. And the nearest large grocery store is 57 miles away. And there are no convenience store or trading posts on the reservation. So what do you do? Although last time we were up there, they are beginning to break ground for a 7-Eleven store. And everybody's pretty excited about that. So gardening is gaining popularity for diabetes prevention in communities, non-native as well as native communities. Community and individual gardens involve community members of all ages and improve physical activity. Its literature demonstrates people who garden are likely to adopt healthier dietary habits. A garden can produce a wide variety of nutritional foods. And they were most interested in some of the native foods that they could eventually plant. So we were really looking at the relationship between obesity, food intake, exercise, and diabetes management. We used several instruments. We looked at the BMI, waist-hip ratio. We developed a scale to look at time spent in gardening, exercise, and different outdoor activities. We also used the diabetes management, the scale inventory by La Greca. We also had two interview forms that we did to look at dietary intake. One we didn't like, so we didn't use it, but we did really like the rapid eating and activity, or the REAP assessment, if any of you have used that. Some of the outdoor chores items we looked at, chopping, splitting wood, hauling wood for cooking or heating, hauling water, sheep herding, poultry raising. We had 68 in our group. It gives you the age range there, anywhere from 18 on up. I think the oldest person we had was 84. Pretty much divided, we had 13 people that declared that they were, or 13% that declared that they were diabetic, which is pretty follows the rate for diabetes in the Navajo tribe at 14%. Pretty much divided in between gardeners and non-gardeners. As you look at the BMI, though, look carefully. 30, remembering that 30 is considered obese. Okay, and these are the averages. But what we decided that the BMI for this particular group is really not indicative of the population at all, and neither is the waist hip measurement. We're going to go back up there and do a bioelectric impedance and use skin calipers and to look at it. Let me come in here. The other thing what we're going to do is really look at the energy expenditures involved in gardening in terms of the metabolic expenditures. As I said, waist hip was not a real reliable indicator. This is just a big chart, but shows you the rapid eating assessment. Really good to use. Quickly, the summary. Gardeners appear to not skip breakfast as much as the non-gardeners. But of the total group, less than a quarter ate out, but remember, it's 30 miles to a restaurant. More than three-fourths of the gardeners and non-gardeners ate 3 servings of grains a day, but more than three-quarters of the total number ate vegetables, but the gardeners, 97% to 31%, so they did way better. Gardeners were more apt to eat 2 or more servings of fruit today, or they were more apt to have dairy products, but everybody consumed a lot of meat, both red and white. We used the diabetes management, as I mentioned, scale, which we're still analyzing from that. So, the literature indicates that gardeners tend to lead healthier lifestyles than non-gardeners, and the data from this study suggests this hypothesis may be supported. So it's a good thing to do. 93% indicated that they would be willing to alter and change their dietary habits, and more than half of the non-gardeners indicated that it was really a time thing. You know, they had to travel 2.5 hours to drive time to work, many of them, and water. This is a desert. Water is a problem. So the person on our team who's is a horticulturist and he loves irrigation stuff is working with them to figure out how they can do a little irrigation. So and also they noted a need for tools. Okay, and my time is up. So as I mentioned, we're going back up there to do the biological impedance. And so have a good day. Thank you.